Welcome to the Authority Podcast, Plumbing and Mechanical. When talking about the built environment, we would do well to remember, we shape our buildings, and afterwards, our buildings shape us. Therefore, on each episode, we'll discuss the latest trends from iAtmo in plumbing and mechanical safety, sustainability, and resiliency. Join me, your host, Christoph Lohr, and together we'll explore the ways we can make our buildings shape us for the better. And welcome back to the Authority Podcast, Plumbing and Mechanical. Joining me again is Mr. Tony Marcello, Senior Vice President of Training and Credential Services. Welcome to the show, Tony.
Thanks, Christoph. It's good to be back again. Had fun last time, so I'm excited to be here to talk about some cool stuff again today.
Likewise. Well, on today's episode, we are going to be talking about the ASSE 12080 and really the 12000 series as a whole. And for our listeners, can you touch on a little bit about what the ASSE 12000 series is as a whole, just to give them a quick broad interview before we get into the rest of our questions?
Yeah, it's happy to answer, but it's also a tough question to answer because the 12000 series has been one of our most rapidly expanding professional qualification series at ASSE. So in a nutshell, 12000 is about preventing infection and being able to, you know, live and occupy spaces in a way where people aren't in danger of contracting any number of things from waterborne, airborne, bloodborne diseases and pathogens. There's a big focus on Legionella as well throughout the series, but the series kind of touches on everybody. Not only the tradespeople that work in these environments and are trained to be able to come in and work effectively and safely and protect occupants, especially occupants that have compromised immune systems, but then also, you know, a credential, and we'll talk more about that with the 1280, for the people that actually, you know, work in the facility, everything from administrators on down who are involved and have a stake in preventing infection and keeping the occupants of their building safe.
Excellent. Well, and let's focus in on one of the professional qualifications within the 12000 series, that 12080. Can you explain in layman's terms why that ASSE 12080 is important?
Yeah, so unfortunately, we're all aware that there continues to be outbreaks of Legionnaire's disease due to Legionella exposure. Fortunately, it pops up in the news, and it continues to pose a danger for the occupants of healthcare and other facilities and their safety and well-being. But it also, to be totally transparent, provides a level of exposure for those healthcare facilities from potential lawsuits and insurance-related issues, and then dealing with infections and outbreaks should they occur despite everybody's best efforts. So 1280 is really designed for those people that are working in those facilities to make sure that they can serve on a proper kind of risk assessment and then water management plan team to protect the members of not only the staff that were those facilities, but especially, you know, patients within healthcare facilities. And again, to the best way to deal with an outbreak is to not have one, right? And so the whole idea is to make sure that the professionals that are credentialed to the ASSE 12080, the idea here is to make sure that they have all the skills and knowledge they need to be able to perform those risk assessments and develop those water management plans effectively and comprehensively, and make sure that they are aware of everything they need to know while doing so. Because some of the things that the members of those teams are going to have to look at are not going to be familiar with them. You know, a hospital administrator isn't going to understand a whole lot about the plumbing systems and where all the risks are. And, you know, and so the 1280, you know, tries to ensure that those folks are more knowledgeable. So they know what they're looking at. They understand the threat. They understand where the dangers lurk within their facilities and can be better equipped to prevent infection. And should the worst happen, despite everyone's best good faith efforts, how to react in a way, you know, that, you know, minimizes the impact that an outbreak might have.
Excellent. So it sounds like there's a pretty wide array, but maybe you want to kind of go down the list of who should get certified.
Yeah. So very important, you know, so when a healthcare facility or any other building has to contemplate how to handle these risks, being full well aware of all the negative consequences that come from an outbreak of Legionnaires' disease or some other disease caused by some other waterborne pathogen, they need to take a look critically at who's going to be on that team. And the people that typically are on this team are the people that have a stake in what happens. And the people that are going to have to be the ones who might have to deal with a problem should one come up, you know, and so they're the ones who are going to be the on that team to help us that, you know, prevent those problems from popping up. So on that team, you're going to have everything from, you know, hospital or healthcare administrators or facility administrators. Now, it's important to, you know, when we think about healthcare facilities, it's important to, you know, make sure that everyone is thinking outside of just a hospital box. There's a lot more that goes into that kind of healthcare facility envelope, you know, all the way down to, you know, retirement homes and assisted living facilities, you know, where you still have people that have these compromised immune systems, you know. So all those types of facilities have administrators and staff that are going to have a stake in keeping their folks safe there. So you'll have administrators, you'll have risk managers. There's also infection protection professionals out there in the marketplace. You know, those are the types of people that should also be serving on these teams. You have facility managers, industrial hygienists, which is a very kind of niche role, but something, you know, that some hospitals and hospital groups will have on staff or have as contractors to consult with. Legionella consultants, you know, and other consultants, you know, they're familiar with, you know, waterborne pathogens, hospital engineers, and water treatment professionals, you know, among others. But, you know, these are kind of the general people that you're going to see from the healthcare facility side that are often going to serve on these teams.
What does it take to get certified?
That's a really, really good question. So ASSE as a certifying body is a little unique in that there's a really strong belief in the importance of training and education as part of the certification process. So, you know, at times you'll see certification programs are essentially, if you meet some basic requirements, you can just take an exam. If you pass the exam, now you're certified. Well, the 1280 professional qualification standard specifically requires that individuals go through a 24-hour training, you know, with an approved school, and they must complete that training prior to taking the exam. So for folks that might be interested in going through the training and getting certified, you know, they can visit the ASSE website, assc-plumbing.org. Find the tab that says personnel certification, click there, and then go down to approved schools, and you'll be able to find a list of the approved schools for the 12,080 as a nice avenue to start your journey towards getting certified. So once a candidate takes their 24 hours of training, and ASSE is aware that you've done so, then you're qualified to take the exam. So the exam is 100 questions. It's multiple choice. And individuals that meet all of the kind of prerequisite requirements, which includes the training, and they get an 80% or higher on the exam, they are now considered certified, and ASSE will send out their professional credentials.
Excellent. Now, as I mentioned before, the 12,080 that we just talked about is part of a larger series called the 12,000 series. And you mentioned that the other standards in the series are aimed at preventing outbreaks due to Legionella and other pathogens. Do you want to just touch on maybe a kind of a quick overview of some of the other ones, maybe a little bit of a deeper dive here?
Yeah, I think that this is a great opportunity to talk about that, because I think folks that live and work in the healthcare facility, you know, aren't all, they're the healthcare world, they're not always familiar with these other standards that greatly benefit them. So when the 12,000 first started, the initial couple standards that were created all dealt with infection control, and infection control from the workers' side of it. So, you know, when a healthcare facility needs repair work, they're, you know, adding a wing to a hospital, whatever, anytime that they're going to have work done in a facility, you know, that work has to be done in a way that is going to not make life harder for the people that are already there, you know, and the way we're not creating an environment that is going to further challenge compromised immune systems. So there's a lot to be taken into consideration. And so some of these standards, you know, exist for the tradespeople that would come into the hospital to do this work. And so where the real benefit here is that if I'm a hospital administrator and I've got to figure out, you know, I've got a job, whether it's, you know, repair or updating a wing of a facility, or even having to build, you know, a whole new wing onto a hospital, you have this group out there that are certified and have already been trained and credentialed to come into your facility and know exactly what to do to make sure that they're preserving the safe environment that already exists there, you know, so making sure that they're not releasing dust into the air, and taking safeguards against these waterborne, airborne, and bloodborne pathogens, you know. And what's doubly nice about these credentials is that they also prepare these workers to operate safely within the environments themselves. And so not only do you have people that can come in and work and operate in your facility without making your life harder because you're worried about, you know, what are they going to do that's going to, you know, cause additional hospital-acquired infections or any other things that are going to make your life miserable, you know, not only can they come in and do that, but now you have workers that know how to protect themselves. And so you don't have to worry about as much about the workers coming in and them getting sick or being exposed to harmful things that might exist in these types of environments. So it's kind of a nice win-win type scenario. So it is something that we encourage healthcare and other facilities to really strongly incorporate, you know, these credentialed professionals into their jobs. But, you know, since we're talking about the 1280 specifically here today, I really want to make sure people are aware of 12,060, 61, 62, and 63. And the reason why that's really important is because these standards go really hand in hand with the 1280. So I was thinking about this, you know, and about the 1260s and really what they mean. And so we've talked about the 1280 as being the credential for the risk assessment and water management team that is consisted of the staff and, you know, related consultants and stuff from the healthcare facility side. Well, the 1260 through 63, those focus on the tradespeople, you know, and preparing tradespeople to also be members of these water management and risk assessment teams. And that becomes very important when you understand that the tradespeople, you know, they install these systems that go into these facilities, they maintain these systems, they repair these systems, and they're very familiar with all the different appliances that get connected to them. And so they have a unique understanding of where some of these additional dangers might lurk. So I had a couple analogies that I've thought of, right? And so when you think of any team, that team is really only as good as the members that are on that team, right? And so you want to make sure that you have all the right folks on that team so that you can approach these issues, which are very important, from a very comprehensive perspective. So recently, with my kids, I was rewatching the first Avengers movie. And, you know, so you have all these superheroes, right? For those, you know, who may have not seen or aware of this movie, you have all these individual superheroes that have all these amazing powers, right? But they come across a challenge. You know, the Earth is being invaded by a force that even with them working together, they're not able to overcome, until Bruce Banner rides in on this rickety old motorcycle and turns into the Hulk, you know, and that's the missing piece, you know, that completes the team. So that way they're able to save, you know, the city of New York and ultimately the world from some interstellar invader, right?
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. So, I mean, the movie's been out for, you know, like 12 years now. So, I mean, if you haven't seen it by now, you know, but, you know, these teams are a lot the same way, you know, and that you need the collective skills and abilities from all of those folks, including the folks from the trade side, to do it. And so the other comparison I make is, if you were to go out and buy a new car, right, you're going to go to the dealership, you're going to go on the lot, you're going to run into a salesperson and test drive a car, but wouldn't you feel a whole lot better if you got to bring your trusted mechanic along with you? You know, because that individual is going to be able to point out problems with a vehicle, you know, that you don't even know to look for. And that's where the 1260s and bringing in those tradespeople onto these water management teams and these risk assessment teams, why it's so important. Because although, you know, the people from the facility side have a great level of knowledge, you know, they don't understand those plumbing systems and where some of these other additional dangers lurk, like the installers do. Just like the installers don't understand insurance billing and all the things that an administrator needs to worry about from the facility side, those people just don't have the right amount of experience in the right areas to fully protect and be totally comprehensive in their team to protect their facility. So, that's why I really appreciate you, you know, bringing me back to the show to talk about these things, because, you know, when you start to think about these systems and things that some of the facility folks might not think about, I mean, when you're dealing with, you know, cooling towers, you know, water features, you know, which is also an area that a lot of people don't seem to recognize as exposure threats. You know, all the potable water systems, the fire protection systems, you know, you're dealing with potential dead legs that can harbor some of these pathogens, ice machines and humidifiers. A lot of folks might not even be aware to even look at those things as potential exposure risks. And then you have just all the other kind of pipe systems within the facility. So by having, you know, kind of a complete Avengers team that includes, you know, the facility side as well as the trade side, you know, it really puts together a comprehensive team, you know, that could, you know, avoid outbreaks, which is going to, you know, save lives. And, you know, you also now equipped with the right team that you need, again, should an outbreak occur despite everybody's best efforts. Now you also have that team in place that can react efficiently to minimize the damage.
So I think your point, Tony, about the 12,000 series as a whole, I think is a really poignant one too, because last I saw too, in the 2024 UPC, Appendix P for professional qualifications includes all the 12,000 series once in there. And so a jurisdiction has the option to adopt these professional qualifications for 12,000 series for their jurisdiction as they so choose. But then on top of that, the comprehensive list there is a great opportunity for design professionals who put in their specs qualifications for the installers on their projects. They can use that same list for certain applications as well. So there's a lot, like, I think it's a really good point you make there, Tony, in terms of adopting these different codes and these different professional qualifications and making people aware of that, because there's a lot of different mediums for people to apply it. Switching gears a little bit, how should those people that get that certification, how should they promote the certification, in your opinion?
Yeah, that's a good question. But before I move quite in that direction, just to kind of touch on your last statement, I think it's also good to, for people to understand that hospital groups or individual hospitals or individual healthcare facilities can also require these certifications in the in order to qualify for jobs. They don't necessarily have to wait for their jurisdiction to adopt it. So if a hospital group, let's say, wants to require that everyone who's going to do work in their facility has to have this 12,000 credential or that 12,000 credential because they recognize the benefits of having that, they can do that. So I just wanted to be clear that although in the code world, we typically think about in terms of adoption, but when it comes to these particular standards, private entities do have the ability to require that folks have these certifications. They don't necessarily have to wait for the jurisdiction to put in some sort of mandate. I just wanted to add that. But to get to your question as to how people should promote their certifications, certifications, they're accomplishments, right? In order to become certified, you have to demonstrate a level of competence. People just don't give away certifications. So people should be proud, of any certification that they achieve. And then as they continue to maintain it, they should be proud of what they've accomplished and what they have shown to be qualified for. So step one should be, once you get your official credentials, you should slap it on the refrigerator next to your kid's spelling test to show that you also do cool things. If an employer is not aware that you have gotten this credential, you should make them aware. Now, in most cases, people that go through the training and certification, they're being kind of sponsored or their company is paying for it. But if someone should do it on their own, they should be sure to make sure that their employer is aware that they're now qualified to operate, on these teams. Now that we're also in the digital age, we'd also encourage people to make mention of and add that credential to their, professional networking profiles, email signatures, any way that they want to, outward facing way that they want to show people that they've accomplished this, they're qualified to do this, and they are ready to be a part of the solution in managing, Legionnaire's disease and outbreaks from other pathogens.
Excellent. Well, to wrap things up, Tony, you mentioned, I want to kind of circle back to what we talked about at the beginning and what you mentioned sort of in the beginning, which was how this is becoming really the fastest growing credential right now, professional qualification, or among one of the biggest ones. The next time we have you on the podcast, because you've already been on, I think, two or three times, so I'm imagining a fourth one is around the corner at some point. What do you think we'll be talking about with the ASSC 12,000 series in terms of the growth?
It's hard to say because, as I mentioned, this 12,000 series, which isn't, compared to some of the other professional qualification standards we have, isn't that old. I think the first standard of the series came into being with, maybe 6-7 years ago, which really isn't that long ago. So to go from, one or two standards to now it's starting to get to be, 7, 8, 9 standards. So I think what you'll probably see us talking about in the future with regards to 12,000 is going to be kind of the air quality part, So where we have the 1260s, I think you're going to see some additional PQs being developed, that are going to be maybe geared a little bit more towards some of the HVAC side of things and the air quality side, to help further, protect those delicate environments.
Excellent. Well, Tony, on behalf of the Authority Podcast, Plumbing Mechanical, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing even more of what you know.
Yeah, appreciate it. It's always a great opportunity.
Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of the Authority Podcast, Plumbing and Mechanical. Love this episode of the podcast? Head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. Please follow us on Twitter @AuthorityPM.
on Instagram at The Authority Podcast, or email us at iatmo@iatmo.org. Join us next time for another episode of The Authority Podcast, Plumbing and Mechanical. In the meantime, let's work together to make our buildings more resilient and shape us for the better.